Hello, and thanks for joining us here on the New Life Show, a series of educational talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. We'd like to understand what's going on here in Israel. The country is in turmoil, split up, divided. Everyone has his own truth. He's sure that he's right. Everyone's wrong. Everyone's separated. And we'd like to see, maybe we could create ourselves a better life here. Nitza, please. Recently, we see a very special situation in our country that also worries the authorities. It's called the State of Judea against the State of Israel. It's a kind of an ideology that's built around the idea that there is a desire to go back and keep, manage, govern this country according to the rules that we had back in the days of King David, King Solomon, when Israel was the greater Israel, the kingship of the greater Israel. People lived according to the eternal Torah of Israel, and we really see that there are a few very radical people, mostly young, called Noar Agvot, that are working for the realization of this ideology. And in this ideology, they want to realize the idea of living once again in that same way and rebuilding the Third Temple. And today we'd like to talk about this and maybe really try and understand, because we understand that probably there are many commentaries and myths around this whole thing of the kingship of Israel and the temple, and we'd like to hear from your point of view, how do you see these things? What is the kingship of Israel? What is the temple? Will it be built? Where? These myths, they're already accompanying us for 2,000 years. Since the day that we have lost the connection between us, where the unfounded hatred, brotherly hatred, was revealed instead of brotherly love during the days of Rabbi Akiva among his students, where back then, through the revelation of the hatred between us instead of love that we felt from the level of love to the level of hatred in our relations, by that we lost that which was revealed in the love between us, which was the upper force, the Creator. And according to the intensity of our love, we discovered Him, revealed Him, felt Him, study them, because that's the force of bestowal and love. And back then we were as if in a conversation with Him. The more we tighten the connections between us, the more we feel Him in different forms, ways, fashions. And the less connected we are, the more we move away from each other, the less we feel Him in different ways. And then, both on our behalf, there was a change in one direction or the other. And also on behalf of the Creator, there was a change that either He comes closer or distances Himself in order to awaken us towards different action. So one is the initiative from us towards Him, and the other is from Him towards us. That's called an awakening from above, if it comes from Him, coming closer or moving away, like we play with kids, or on our behalf towards Him. That's called a prayer, coming closer or distancing a bit. It's a kind of a flirt, like dancing. It also says so in the Zohar and other places, as the dance between the groom and the bride. The groom is the Creator, and the bride are the people of Israel. But back then we were in a state where it's called talking. Talking in different ways is that it is, we talk with the Creator, but we as if talk with God. Of course. And everything which was revealed in the Torah, it was written as a result of this connection. Everything written in the Pentateuch. And this is how we existed. This is how we lived in contact with Him, meaning we knew what is the meaning of life, what's going on with us, how can we benefit our advancement until we reach a state where, which is the best possible state. The best possible state is that we are completely like Him in understanding, in perception, in attainment, in everything. That we're one facing the other so much, we grow so much that we're really like Him. Like it says, repent the people of Israel and up to the Creator, thy God, to reach adhesion, love. In this state is called adhesion. Reality as a whole then consists of two things, we and Him. And that's it. There is no other reality. All the rest simply felt as included in the connections between us, including this whole universe and everything that's going on Earth and everything, including everything. And then, back in those times, we have acknowledged a process which we have to go through, that every time from one generation to the next our ego will grow, meaning the Creator makes it so that we become more and more distanced from Him. More and more and more. He, by that, allows us, gives us the opportunity, even though that He distances us to a certain, He moves away to a certain distance. It's in order for us to come closer. He distances us from Him more. We come closer. So the entire, the distancing comes from Him, and coming closer, that's up to us. Meaning that every time we attain our right form to be like Him, to build ourselves at home and at work, and in the relations between us, and the relations between Israel and the nations, the whole world. We learn that from Him, meaning everything that He reveals and is revealed by us as something bad, and therefore it says, I've created the evil inclination. It is in order for us to transcend it and come closer to Him, even though that this ego is burning inside us like this strong inner fire. I want to understand, what is a person's perception when he is, as you said, in adhesion, and when he moves away, I see the world differently? Undoubtedly. How does it affect me as a person being part of society, that either my society is close to that force of the Creator or distances itself? If we're together with the Creator, we're never wrong. We live the good and ideal life. If we move away, what does it mean that we move away, that I no longer see Him clearly as before? I can be wrong. I can do different incorrect actions, meaning my reality becomes distorted. My commentary of reality is distorted. Yes. And what do I have to do? Not to follow what my eyes see. They have eyes but do not see, and ears but do not hear. But first of all, to once again reach connection and to work out of that. Meaning, I do not activate any force of mine besides needing to feed my body, my animalistic body. But besides that, I never set any goal before myself but connection, proximity with the upper force. And then I'm sure that if I do something, I won't be wrong. And this is how it has to be. And we try doing it this way. But we couldn't hold. We couldn't hold this contact, and the deterioration was it impacted us until we really lost the Creator. And as a result, we have lost the connection between us. And vice versa. As a result of our ego coming in and We started pushing each other, hating each other, not liking each other, and so on. The Creator disappeared. Because he had nothing he could fill, he couldn't hold on to us. Because he holds, he lands. He's called the Chatan, groom, from the word Linchot, to land. He lands in the connection between us and fulfills us as long as our connection is similar to his nature. What happens when the Creator disappears? We forget that. Then I'm in my egoistic qualities. Meaning to lose the connection with the Creator is actually to lose what? The understanding what I'm doing in life, where I am. It's as if I lost direction, orientation. You have no picture, you don't see the world. You read incorrectly what's going on around you, what's going on with us. So if I understand correctly, once we lose the connection with that force of the Creator, of God, what happens is that we actually start seeing a reality which is no longer true. And based on that, there are myths, different myths are creating, because I don't see the true reality. I'll tell you furthermore, religions, whole religions are based on it. Where does it come from? Because the Creator is concealed. Then religions were built. A person has to hold on to something. Okay, so because this connection disappeared, so a person naturally has to hold on to something. So he reads something in the Pentateuch and starts building a new Torah for himself. And this is actually how all the religions are built, the myths, stories, folk tales. This is actually what happens. Yes. So now I can understand why there are so many myths, because the distance is, wherever your imagination takes you. And what's unique is that each one of us has a different imagination, so then you can understand the variety of imaginations that we have around us. Okay, so let's go back to today, when we cope, when we want to understand where we are. Today we're in a world that is completely dark, with no recollection of any kind of truth, because the darkness is complete darkness in our heart, in our mind. None of us, to begin with, can be in touch with the Creator, with the upper force, in a way that to talk to Him as if, meaning to discover Him in a clear manner. And therefore, we're in states that only mistakes, we're making only mistakes, and actually we run from one mistake to another and so on. What should there be? We have reached a state where the whole world came to a dead end, where it's clear to the world that they have no idea where they're developing. It's clear to the world that no one has the truth in their hand, a rod in their hand to go forward with, and that one can lead humanity with, on the one hand. On the other hand, everyone's asking, what's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? And this is the situation. It's a good situation because, finally, we're not like throughout the 2,000 years of exile where no one asked about anything, but we simply lived. But it's a situation where we already wish to come out of this exile. We want to somehow build ourselves. What is exile in this respect? Exile is lack of connection with the Creator. That's exile. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with where we physically live. No, not at all. Whether it's in Israel or not. No. Exile is disconnection from the connection with the Creator. Yeah. Even though that there is a connection between the attitude towards the Creator and the attitude or relation towards the corporeal land of Israel, because whoever aspires for the Creator also aspires for this place. There is also a so-called reshimot, impression from spirituality in this land. Why? Because this was the place where Noah's written branch. What do you mean? Against every spiritual root, there is the corporeal world. And against this place called the land of Israel, it's somehow connected by a subtle inner connection with a spiritual root, which actually, truly, this is a special place where in practice, in our world, has to happen the process of going back to the revelation of the Creator to His creatures. And therefore we have to realize that. So what is the temple after this whole explanation you gave? What is the temple? The temple is what we build in our relations. It's not the rocks, the stones. I heard that they're starting to collect stones in order to build some building instead of Al-Aqsa. It has nothing to do with one another. So what is the temple? The temple is that we want only one thing in our hearts, to be in a connection of love between us. And then inside this reciprocal love between us, there we will make place for the revelation of the Creator, for Him to reveal. That's called the home of sanctity, a kli. Our desires are the kli, in which the desire to bestow, the desire to love, reciprocal desire to love is revealed in, and that's called bait, home. And the holiness is that the Creator, according to the equivalence of form, reveals this desire of ours. The extent to which we match, to which we are like Him. And what's special about the third temple? The third temple, what's unique about it is that we reach a connection like never before. The connection of Gemar HaTikun, the final correction, where all the Babylonians, all of Babylon, all of humanity reaches a connection together with the people of Israel, something that didn't exist during the first and second temple. No, didn't. There was only one group that disconnected from ancient Babylon under the rule of Abraham, our patriarch, and then later on through Yaakov, Yitzchak, and so on. They were led up to our times, and now we have to build a connection between us called the beginning of the third temple. But actually, the building of the temple is actually as a result of all the people in the world connecting to us, all the people in the world. And therefore, it's called my home shall be a, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. So, first of all, there can be no building, but the structure within our hearts, meaning that our hearts will be connected together. And afterwards, we can build something or not, because why am I saying you can build or not build? Because our world, to the extent to which we come together, unite, connect between us tightly, to that extent, our world disappears. So, it's not about building something out of wood and rocks, but we're moving on to a new dimension where we live inside our spirituality, inside the vessel we have built out of our feelings, emotions, and therefore this corporeal feeling which we feel right now disappears. And therefore our world is called the imaginary world. And let's hope that we'll come to that quickly. So all of this war between the state of Judea and the state of Israel is really, it only has to awaken us towards the right kind of war against our ego, all of us together, for us to transcend it and connect between us in order for the Creator to reveal between us, and this way we will reach the third temple, what they dream about only in the right way? Why is the condition to connect between us? Because this is actually the right form of nature. That all of nature, still vegetative, animate speaking, has to be in a tight connection as one man and one heart. Everyone has to be connected together, because by that we make place for the Creator to reveal in His revelation the nature which He has created, the will to receive which He has created, is actually the purpose of the entire development. This is actually by that we return to the world of En Sof, to that very state from which we came down and returned to. Only when we return to it, we don't return like we were once, but with perception, understanding, recognition on the level of the Creator. And by that, we correct ourselves, we become like the Creator. But after that, there is an additional development, and it is already on a higher dimension that we have attained, not on the upper level, but on the upper level. Okay, what is the kingship of Israel? The kingship of Israel, it means that we reveal to the world the method of correction, the purpose of creation, the purpose of life. In what way do we have to advance? That's called the kingship of Israel. It's not by fist or by force like the rest of the kingships, some foreign kingship of Greece or Rome. But here we're talking about the fact that the nations of the world, through the right kind of attitude, approach of ours, start digesting this new concept, perception, the purpose of creation, the correction of creation, the end of creation, the whole process we have to undergo now. And we accept it because they themselves are despair, disappointed, and see that nothing's working. And they expect it. That's why anti-Semitism is on the rise. They're expecting us to bring something. Sometimes I hear from the Christians, when will you finally build the temple? Why aren't you building the temple? And I'm all shook up when I hear it, because they have it in a kind of an inner understanding that they depend on our temple. I didn't think that it's so commonly known. I met a few people in life, simple people, and they asked me after I said that I'm engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah and that I'm from Israel. It was overseas. They asked, why aren't you building the third temple? It was always a shock for me, because I understand the whole matter and how much it's rooted in nature, and how each and every person cries out from within, actually, why doesn't this state exist? Not the house, but why doesn't this state exist? Because all of the pleas, all of our frustrations are actually towards that state where we all want to connect between us with the Creator. This is our true inner desire, which exists. Exists, which is hidden among us. And only if we'll reveal it to everyone in a clear manner, we will be able to discover, suddenly discover many people that are together with us, that will connect with us and go forward and support us. As it says, as the prophet Isaiah says, that the nations of the world will come to Israel and take them on their shoulders to build a temple. I know many people in Israel that don't believe in the Creator at all and have no desire to connect between them. For them, it's a kind of a fiction that someone invented somewhere in history for his personal motives, and a kind of an ethos that helped maybe our people cope with the suffering, but I don't see how can they connect with the process that you're describing, where all people connect to the Creator and so on. So only this, this story is only fit for people who believe in the Creator? No, not at all. As it says, all shall know me from small to great, that they don't believe and don't want to hear about it and scorn it. I understand them. It looks primitive. Not only primitive, it's irrational, unrealistic, deviates a person from the path, some invention that someone invented in history, a result of the concealment, the exile, I understand them. Can you put this in words for a person who doesn't believe in the Creator? I see no hardship. Okay, so please, suppose I represent that public. I'll tell you just one thing. Nature is an integral nature. We all have to reach some kind of a system which is connected from inside outwards and from outside inwards, from all directions, tightly. This is actually what our development is coming to. We see it from all forms of nature, through all the different forms of science which we discover, biology, zoology, astronomy, whatever. We see that this is what we're coming to, whether we want it or not, that in nature there's a special engine that is leading us to a certain form, and this form is the whole and complete connection between all of the parts of nature, and from all of nature, people are those that are incorrectly connected between them. And therefore, I'm not talking about God, God and its numerical value, gematria equals nature. And I'm talking about connection, whether we want it or not, we'll have to be connected one way or another through blows or torments like we see now, world wars maybe, or by acknowledging that this is the law and we develop according to this law. And it's not that whatever people feel like, that's what happens. But it is the law of nature which is above us, determines everything. And you can call that law the Creator or nature. It doesn't matter. You will have to keep it. What does it say? It says that we, humans, have to reach connection between us, like the still vegetative animate are already in. They are already connected between them, and we have no choice but to listen, to see it, to research these things, and to reach a connection. Otherwise, we'll advance towards connection, but through such suffering that it's a shame. And in one word, what is a connection when you say that we have to reach a connection? Completion between us, completion. Forget about the Creator, forget about the Torah, forget about everything. Now, get into a good and nice connection between all the people. Try to do it. You won't be able to. But there is a method which can teach you how to do it, and it is the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Our time is unfortunately up. Thank you very much, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.